The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
This episode of the Blonde Files podcast is brought to you by the House of Chanel. Harnessing the revitalizing powers of the red camellia flower, Chanel Research introduces a new generation of eco-responsible skincare. Numéro un de Chanel. Beauty ahead of time. Discover the collection at chanel.com.
Chanel introduces a new generation of sustainably developed skincare concentrated with the extraordinary anti-aging properties of the red camellia flower. Numéro 1 de Chanel harnesses the powers of this uniquely resilient ingredient to address the five signs of aging and support skin's vitality. The complexion appears younger, smoother, radiant, and revitalized. Numéro 1 de Chanel, beauty ahead of time. To learn more about the line, visit chanel.com.
Welcome to the Blonde Files podcast. I'm your host, Ariel Lori, and I'm here to talk all things wellness. From how to achieve optimal health and well-being to the best beauty tips and everything in between, no topic is off limits. I know there's so much information out there, so I'm bringing on expert guests and sharing my own experiences to help you sift through all the wellness stuff without the BS. Enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I have such a great episode for you today, and if you can, I would go watch this one on YouTube or at least go take a peek because you have to see how my guest glows from within, which is essentially what we are talking about in this episode. So go see it because you are going to want to hear all of the tips and tricks and all of the knowledge that she's sharing when you see how it is when it's put into practice. So I'm talking to Dr. Nigma Talib. She is a highly respected naturopathic doctor based here in Beverly Hills. She's renowned for her founding role in Healthy Doc clinics with previous locations in West Vancouver, New York, and London. She's not only a successful practitioner, she is the author of the best-selling book, Reverse the Signs of Aging, Younger Skin Starts in the Gut, which shows her passion for creating science-backed supplements and skincare that resonate with consumers all over the world. She was one of the pioneering figures to introduce vitamin supplements to the fashion industry through Net-a-Porter. And she has tirelessly supported her profession and colleagues by serving on examination and quality assurance committees for the College of Naturopathic Physicians of British Columbia and currently holds a significant position on the board of the California Naturopathic Doctors Association, where she works on legislation impacting naturopathic doctors in California. She's known for her global lectureships. She regularly contributes as a keynote speaker at seminars such as Goop Health and Business of Fashion. And she really empowers individuals with the knowledge that enables them to address their health issues using things like dietary guidance, supplemental advice, and functional laboratory testing. So with over two decades of experience, she uses diverse naturopathic modalities, including principles of Chinese medicine, botanical medicine, clinical nutrition, and more to provide personalized remedies for her patients. And she joins me today to share insight into things like the gut-skin connection, why skin health and anti-aging start from within. We discuss specific foods to avoid for skin issues. She can tell just by looking at somebody whether they have sugar face, wine face, gluten face, dairy face. We talk about how gut issues impact hormones, a holistic anti-aging protocol, how to lower cortisol levels, and so much more. So please enjoy Dr. Nigma Talib. Okay, I want to start with your party trick, which I'm sure everybody asks you to do, which is you can look at somebody's face and you can tell if they have sugar face, gluten face, dairy face, or wine face, right? I have a very specific one right now. So I want to see.
You're going to see if I can read your face. I know this is, I get asked this question. I know, every you're probably party like, I go to, I'm
oh
like,
my God.
It's like either I'm going to insult them mm-hmm. or they're going to just think I'm
me.
A liar.
Yeah.
So what face do you have? I mean, besides beautiful face.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to take a wild guess.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to make a guess, it's going to be sugar.
Maybe, but I think the predominant one right now is dairy.
Really?
I had a lot of dairy this weekend and I don't normally, and I feel like my eyes are swollen.
Okay.
I have breakouts all over, which I never
I can't
get.
Tell.
Okay. Then I have good makeup on.
Yeah. I can see a little bit of the puffiness in the eyes, mm-hmm. but I
is that sugar as well?
Sugar can do that as well. Dairy definitely does it. It does it for me, like, and and most people I know, because imagine it causes the sinuses to congest and it just causes a face to look more bloated and puffy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is an aging quality. Like, people think like wrinkles, but it's dairy face.
Interesting. And okay, so what is, so sugar face, what is that one like?
Sugar face, you get a bit of redness on the skin and inflammation and it, you can get like a sallowness and like a, it can cause skin sagging. You don't have the skin sagging. I didn't mean
it
that
way. I do
all
the things.
Sugar equals skin sagging. So people that continue to eat the sugar, we know that these breakdown of the collagen occurs and it causes your skin to sag, sadly.
And what about gluten face?
So gluten face is interesting. So think about gluten, what it does to the gut. We've seen a lot of studies on gluten causing what we call leaky gut. So it's your gut kind of having holes in it and having perforations and causing, you know, inflammation in your body systemically. Gluten can cause autoimmune conditions. So think about like people with autoimmune conditions and fatigue. They quite often have like puffy face. You know that face you have after eating pizza the next day? It's like your face is kind of like, kind of like the yeast that rises in the breast.
Sometimes I like that because I feel like it makes me look younger.
That is a good point. To be fair, that's, you're not wrong. Yeah. I have had that before. Being 51 now, I kind of like,
you know, get a little of the diffuse swelling.
Yeah, exactly.
And then wine face.
Okay, yeah. Wine face, sugar face are kind of, you know, wine and sugar is the same thing, but
got it.
Wine, more like redness on the skin and you get these deepened nasolabial folds, which none of us want, you know, kind of the dryness around the eyes. And in Chinese medicine, these lines here in the middle of the forehead represent liver, the 11s. So more pronounced 11s. And, you know, obviously you're getting a similar to sugar face, but lots of inflammation in the skin. And they did like a study on someone that like used to drink wine every day and then stopped drinking wine. And you can see the difference in her skin was like from super red and inflamed to like clear.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it's sad. I know. Wine's out. Yeah. Not all the time. 80-20 rule.
Got it. And as far as sugar, and we'll get more into this in this episode, but does that go for like a smoothie, for example, as well?
That is such a good question.
So can it be like natural sugars or is it added sugars, more processed things?
I have smoothies for dessert. That's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Yeah.
Because they have so much sugar in them.
Yeah.
And they're made with so many different things. And so I think you got to be careful of your smoothies. Like if you're going to be making a smoothie at home, you can blend, you know, a handful of berries, you know, add some like fiber in there. So like ground flax seeds or chia seeds that help sort of get your blood sugar, you know, your blood sugar more stable. And so, and also increase your bowel movements, which we know really, really help inflammation overall. So I think with smoothies, think of fiber and maybe like berries. Like don't put bananas in there. I mean, those are, that's basically a sugar crash waiting to happen.
Yeah. Sometimes I pick my battles. Like today I was so tired and I didn't want to have caffeine because I'm like, then I'm going to get the caffeine high, even just from matcha, and then crash. And so I would rather get kind of that burst of energy from the smoothie. And it has, to my credit, it has flax seeds, it has almond butter, it has glutamine, it has B12, berries, no banana, vegan protein powder, and cashew milk? I don't know. One of those. So it's not like a total.
Oh, you so know what you're doing. You're on the right track.
And I can only have this much. I'm so sensitive. I can either have caffeine and be anxious and tired.
Right.
I can have this.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
We've all been down that dusty road.
Yeah. So your philosophy is that skin health starts in the gut, right? And that's your book and you have a whole plan. But how did you land on that?
You know, as a naturopathic doctor, that's how we're trained, right? To start at the level of the gut. And because I've been doing it on patients for so many years, it was actually an interesting how it happened. I'd already written the book because I wanted to write this book, but I didn't know how to go about getting it published or even where to start. And I randomly got an email from Penguin Random House. And they're like, would you be interested in writing a book? I'm like, I've already written the book. And they're like, what?
Wow.
So I had a meeting with them, and then lo and behold, I had a book deal. And this was in 2015 when no one was talking about poop and the gut and the skin connection. So I was, you know, they were excited to take this on as a, you know, working title and move it forward. So my UK version is Reverse the Signs of Aging. Mm-hmm. And the US version is Younger Skin Starts in the Gut. Mm-hmm. And so really, I talk about that connection, the skin and the gut connection being super important at starting. If people are looking at skincare as your starting point, mm-hmm. you're heading in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's dive deeper into that, because we talk so much about skincare on the show. And, you know, I think that people kind of look at the tangible things that they can do when it comes to wellness, whether it's skincare, through their diet, through supplements, and all of those things can help. But really, we need to be looking at these foundational things, right? So talk about why you can't really override maybe dysbiosis in the gut with good skincare, good nutrition, all of that.
Because you can't, yeah, you can't hide the puffiness, right? Like mm-hmm. you can try, you know, you can only hide so much until it starts showing up on the skin. And you can, you know, you can do that in your 20s and your mm-hmm. 30s and maybe some of your 40s. Mm-hmm. When you get my age, you can't be, you know, messing around. It's mm-hmm. really going to show. And even, you know, in younger age groups, you can start seeing the skin. And so you're seeing a lot of these young 20, 30 year olds getting Botox and fillers and, mm-hmm. you know, because of the effects of food. And instead of focusing on the food first and then going for maybe baby Botox mm-hmm. or filler if you have to, I think that's a better way of taking care of the skin. And my way of taking care of the skin is using really incredible technology, microneedling, radiofrequency with microneedling, radiofrequency in general, LED therapy, various different kinds of peels that I mix together mm-hmm. to help the skin overturn skin cells. So there are ways of helping the skin on the outside, but if you don't do the inside first, you're going to be doing a lot of outside treatments on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you start on the inside, it's an inside job, and it, you know, you can get better results with getting treatments, not as regular as you would need to.
Mm-hmm. And do you do Botox and filler as well, or no? Do you stay away from all of that?
I personally don't mm-hmm. inject Botox in patients. Mm-hmm. Have I done it on myself? Yes. Maybe mm-hmm. every 2 years I'll mm-hmm. do baby Botox. Like just, I have, you know, my 11s, but mm-hmm. you know, I can get away with it for quite a number of mm-hmm. years because yeah. I keep on the microneedling. I keep on my skincare regime. I do the inside job things that I need. I take supplements. I've always taken supplements mm-hmm. for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I think those things have really helped me mm-hmm. personally. And I feel my patients.
Your skin is insane. I mean, that's why I'm asking, I'm looking at you. Even when I met you out there, like you definitely have that glow from within. That, to your point, you can't get that from a skincare regimen. You can't get that from Botox, fillers, things like that.
It's, well, you're very kind. You made my day.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you.
No, you're radiant. I mean, your eyes too, and your skin and everything. You can tell that you have that vitality from within that, you know, you just can't get with these topical and, you know, less invasive treatments.
And you can really see once people follow my plan in my book, I have patients that have done no skincare treatments with me. They just mm-hmm. do the plan to start mm-hmm. with, because I won't do the skincare treatments on them or give them skincare. They can start with my skincare if they want. Mm-hmm. But once they start the inside, people start asking them, what have you done? Mm. So they're on the 4-week plan plus mm-hmm. my supplements. And people will say, you literally look 5 years younger. Mm. And that's all they've done. So can you imagine then adding treatments to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the cherry on top.
Right. That's what I do on mm-hmm. myself personally. But mm-hmm. I am naughty at times. There is an 80-20 rule. Like mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. I will be seen out with a glass of wine every now and then. Mm-hmm. But it's not as often as I would like because mm-hmm. I love wine. But mm-hmm. it's just, I know what it does. Mm-hmm. What it does, even like psychologically, emotionally, it really messes up the gut. Mm-hmm. So, and the skin. So.
Yeah. I mean, I can even feel like after my weekend, I had a friend in town. So I was eating out every meal. I don't want to be the person at the restaurant who's like, no, I don't eat this, that, right. this, and that, and the other thing when we're all sharing things. Yeah. So I am like dairy, you know, gluten, sugar, all the things, desserts like that I don't normally eat. So yeah, I guess
was
I do have
good,
sugar
though?
Phase. Yes, so good. See, so good and so worth it. But I mean, I feel hungover today. I haven't had a drink in 10 years. And I have that feeling because I think when you do live by that 80-20, when you do that 20 or even that 10%, like
it
really affects you. Yeah.
It's so unfair. It's like a moment on the lips and a lifetime on the hips and exhaustion after. You know? It's just like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
But
I always say to my acupuncturist, because she's like, you're just really sensitive. And I'm like, I'm like, I wish I wasn't. But she says, no, it's a good thing because that also means that you respond really well to treatments, you know, whether it's acupuncture or whether it's a supplement or whether it's just removing something that's causing inflammation. So it's kind of a gift in that way.
I think so. And I think that's great that you're sensitive and that you are aware, because then you know what's happening. A lot of people don't know what's going on. And they're like, then 2 months later, they're like, oh boy, why do I feel like this? What do I need to do? And now you know what to do. You know how to navigate that. Because that person could just be eating dairy and everything every day because they have no idea what's happening. Because they're not in touch with that. So I think that's the first thing, is to be aware that, you know, what is happening in your body.
So if somebody walks in to your office, what is the first thing that you do?
I ask them how many times they poop.
Okay.
A day. I know, I have zero shame. I've been doing it my whole career.
Yes.
It's just, I think it's a conversation we have to have, and we have to normalize these conversations. Because really, the pooping habits and what's happening from what your poop looks like, what it feels like, the shape of it, the frequency, the color, all of those things can tell me so much.
Okay, like what?
So it can tell me, like, if it's floating or sinking. For example, if you have fat malabsorption, if you have fat malabsorption, that means that you're not absorbing vitamin A, D, E, and K, which are super important vitamins. So that person is going to have a propensity towards depression, diarrhea, stomach upset, bloating, gas, you know, alternating constipation, diarrhea. I mean, those are not fun things to have. And then to top it off, they'll have autoimmune type issues. So chronic fatigue syndrome, fatigue, feeling like they're hungover pretty much every day. So what does that do to a person? What does that look like for that person? You know, their ability in their life to maintain friendships, relationships, jobs, motivation, like it impacts their entire life. So just knowing what the bowel movements are doing. And, you know, a lot of my patients say, nobody asks me these questions. And they're not even shy about it. They're actually quite happy, or they're like, do you know what? I don't know. I'm going to look. And they're like, should I take a picture? I said, no, don't take a picture. just, you know, you can send me an email and let me know.
Yeah.
Do a poop diary. But I don't want any pictures.
Yeah.
I have had patients send me pictures.
Really? It's funny. You think about that saying about periods, like the period is the fifth vital sign, right? But it sounds like maybe your bowel movements are your sixth vital sign.
Yeah, it is. It's super important. I mean, your gut is, you know, the center of where health begins and death begins. You know, everything that happens in that gut, you have, what, 300 trillion bacteria in there? And there's good ones, there's bad ones, there's ugly ones, there's neutral ones, like Switzerland, you know? But the bad ones can create a lot of problems and, you know, conditions and chronic illnesses. And we're going to see, and I remember saying this over 20 years ago, and I remember saying, like, we're going to come to a point where every single disease is going to be treated at the level of the gut, and it's going to be mainstream. And I think we're moving there. I don't think that we're quite there, but if we can get there, we can resolve so many chronic issues.
Can you just maybe tell us in layman's terms, how does it start in the gut? How is it that the gut affects every system of the body?
So if you think about it, a lot of the bacteria in the gut absorb nutrients like B vitamins. All our nutrients are absorbed in the gut. Our water is absorbed in the gut. Think of the gut as one cell. So it's like this glass. It's one cell, you know, it's permeable enough that we can have nutrients absorbed, but it's thick enough that it prevents the toxins from being absorbed. The difference that separates the outside world to our inside body is our gut. So it's the only way. We have a security guard at the front, of our body and the back, which is our rectum, our bottom, and the mouth. So there's only the two ways anything can get in, really. I mean, obviously creams, toxins get in, but generally speaking. So we have security guards at both ends. So it's about preventing toxins from going into our body, because eventually it's going to absorb into our body. So keeping that gut microbiome optimal by preventing the bad toxins from coming in, because when we have toxins come in or we overproduce bad bacteria, they produce poop, and their poop is called fermentation. And that fermentation triggers a cascade of inflammation responses. So those inflammation responses then cause joint pain, back pain, muscle pain, that kind of hangover feeling pain issue. It can just make somebody just feel exhausted. It can cause nervous system issues, because where are most of your serotonin receptors located? The gut.
In the gut, yeah.
So depression starts there. So anyone that comes into my office that says, "Doc, I'm depressed or have depressive like symptoms or anxiety," I can put it 10 out of 10 that they're not having that beautiful sausage shaped poop every single day.
So what are some of the first things that you do with somebody? Do you have them do a stool test so that you can analyze everything? Are there things that you would recommend people immediately take out of their diet if they're incorporating them? Like if they are eating dairy, gluten, sugar, just have them eliminate that for the time being? Are there supplements that are universally helpful? Like what does that look like?
That's a great question. And so I will literally get them to do a crappy job, which is the stool test, but someone's got to do it and they've got to do it. Pretty much every patient of mine does a stool analysis because I want to know who is actually living in the gut, all the good guys living there. I want to see how your short chain fatty acids are, which are some butyrates that are protective. I want to know about fat malabsorption. I want to know if there's any parasites, which bacteria are there. And then accordingly, I'll put together a plan. I'll clear out the bad bacteria. I'll correct the gut microbiome imbalance. And then I'll use protective supplements to ensure that we get that gut lining rebuilt. I'll also do food intolerance tests. I'm old school. I've been doing food intolerance tests for over 20 years, and I find them very effective. It's not the full treatment, but it's a good starting point, what to remove. I wrote my book really for my patients, if I'm really honest, because I kept... There are some common tenets in there that if you can't see me as a patient, please read the book, because it has so much information in it. It should have been two books, but but I got carried away because I get so passionate about this. So the book, I will always give my patient a starting point. It's like, this is where you can start until we can actually find exactly what your intolerances are and what your imbalances are in your gut. So yes. And I would also run full lab work. And what that means is not just a basic cell blood count. I would look at markers such as, you know, ANA for autoimmune conditions, TSH, T3, T4, antibodies to the thyroid, C-reactive protein, homocysteine. I add a lot of different blood work markers that a conventional doctor sometimes might not add, although there is the tide is turning. Medical doctors or conventional doctors are now taking that step to do more blood work because they're seeing that they're missing things, you know, with their patient. So I always like to be as thorough as possible, so I have a baseline.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why do you think that is? Is it because they're missing things, or is there kind of a shift away from traditional, you know, MDs to naturopathic doctors and more integrative practitioners, or just an amalgamation of all of those things?
It is. You're right. But it's really coming from you. It's coming from people like you that do these podcasts that educate and patients. You know, patients are now demanding to have blood work done. And, you know, I can tell a lot by looking at lab work. So I quite often tell my patients, hey, send us your, you know, last 2 years of blood work. And I can see deficiencies that are forming before they've even happened, when their medical doctor said, oh, just go home, you're fine. I'm like, no, you're iron deficiency anemia. And they're like, how did you know? I'm having such heavy periods. How would you know that? I'm like, I can see it in your blood work. And they'll just be like, why didn't my medical doctor tell me that? I don't have an answer. I never say anything bad. I just say, I don't know what to say, but we're fixing it now. And, you know, iron deficiency anemia is debilitating. And it's a large group of the population. Any woman that's menstruating, you need iron for so many biochemical reactions in the body. So I think it's important to read lab work and really understand it. And that's where naturopathic medicine is, you know, the king of all of that. We really, really know our stuff when it comes to biochemistry.
Mm-hmm. What are some other pillars of overall health aside from like the lab work, the stool testing, obviously the nutrition? I know that, you know, oftentimes there are other things like acupuncture incorporated and more of like an emphasis on the mind body. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I will work. I'm a traditionally trained naturopathic doctor. I use every tool in my toolbox from what I learned over 20 years ago. So I will use homeopathy. I'll use Chinese herbs. I'll use botanicals. I'll use it all. I also do treatments on my patient, like energy work with cupping. That really is helpful. I'm trained in acupuncture, but in the state of California, I cannot perform acupuncture on patients, even though that's one of my gifts. You know, we don't call it acupuncture. We can sometimes inject homeopathic remedies into different meridian points, which is what I'll do for people with pain. So I use a lot of my tools in my toolbox, and I love these. My patients love it because I can treat them for almost anything using all the tools in my toolbox. IV, intravenous therapies, really, you know, I custom make IV therapies. It's not just like mainly fluid. It's not just, it's not just mainly saline rather. It's, you know, it's putting nutrients in for you that you need. Like for example, if you're feeling not great today because you had all that dairy, maybe we need to work on an IV that's going to not just hydrate you, but allow your body's liver to eliminate that inflammation that occurred as a result. So I'll do something like that, do some energy work on the patient, and they'll literally leave feeling so much better.
So we'll go do that after this.
Sure, come on over.
I'm like, what do I have? I'm sure you have time. Just kidding. No, that sounds amazing though. And, you know, I think it's so important because we tend to isolate everything in the body here, right? And we look at each system as its own thing, and really they're all working in concert together. So you can't really treat the one thing, especially, I mean, the gut, right? I had somebody on the other day and we were talking about hormone health and, you know, how so many people go, okay, I'm going to fix my hormones, but then they have this gut that's, you know, in dysbiosis and they have SIBO or, you know, candida or whatever. And I learned years ago when I was going through that same thing, like you have to treat the gut first, because when your body is under that chronic stress of having the digestive issues and the overgrowth, you know, your reproductive hormones are going offline, essentially, right?
100%. You're bang on. And it's so funny you said this, because this is what I'm going to give you a sneak peek. It's my second book is on, if I can there. It's like the gut and hormones.
Oh, wow.
Because you can't separate them. And you're one of the first people that really have talked about this, because I don't hear a lot of people talking about the gut and hormone connection, because you can't fix your hormones if your gut's a mess. You're going to end up at square one all over again, if not worse.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about the mechanism of that and how it interacts, like how the gut and the hormones interact with one another?
Well, if you think about it, the liver and the gallbladder work together. The liver 100% clears estrogen. And if you have a sluggish digestion, you have a sluggish liver. So think about a lineup, you know, back in the day when we used to go to clubs. Remember, we used to line up in the get into the club. And then if it's too long, we leave, right? The only analogy I can think of, I'm missing my good old days, but that we leave that lineup, and that's like toxins waiting to get into the liver. If the lineup is too long, they just leave. And when they leave, they recirculate. What happens when they recirculate? They become even more toxic. So your body ends up with a high toxic burden. And that's what happens with hormones. When you're giving hormones to a person who's already congested with such a long lineup, they're going to be worse. So it might work initially because they're so low that it's like the desert. You get to plant some water, but it overflows after a while because you really need to fix the root cause, which is exactly what you said. And if you fix the gut, treating the hormones is very easy. In the same way as skin. If you get a clear face, right? Like from avoiding the toxic foods. Mm-hmm. Then when you get a face treatment, it's going to work so much better. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to combat the acne or the redness, you've already got an anti-inflamed face. Mm-hmm. So you can really work on then lifting and glowing and, you know, all the things that we want.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm like, this is music to my ears. What are some of the biggest offenders when it comes to inflammation, whether it's in our gut? I guess in our gut, because it would start in our gut. As far as food, environmental toxins.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's toxins from the environment that mm-hmm. we can't control. But we can control, I want to focus on things we can control, because it gets quite daunting to think that, oh gosh, you know, you can do things like don't buy supplements in plastic bottles. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I made my supplements all in glass bottles. It was not easy to do, but the microplastics you end up getting is hardcore. Mm-hmm. Avoid collagen powders that are not tested for mercury. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the things we can control. Limit your sugar intake, mm-hmm. you know, increase your fruits and vegetables. Vegetables are easy to do. You just throw it in a soup and you make a soup. That's what I do once a week, especially vegetables that are going to be expiring soon. Mm-hmm. You know, try to get as much vegetables and cook vegetables. Because raw, really hard to digest. So mm-hmm. there's really simple things that one can do to, you know, get rid of the offenders, you know, like sugar, preservatives. We all know packaged foods mm-hmm. are really, really unsafe for mm-hmm. us to consume. We know what happens. So, you know, I think we're all awakened. I think there's a lot of people that are awakened to this. And it's exciting that, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years and I've seen the evolution of mm-hmm. even people now calling themselves functional practitioners, yeah. which is really naturopathic medicine.
Yeah. Functional is a very sexy word right now. Functional food, functional yeah. drinks, functional practitioners, functional beauty, right? It's like,
I just wish they would credit naturopathy, because that's where yeah. it comes from. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about it. But at the same time, I think we need to address the roots, like, the mm-hmm. functional medicine is coming from naturopathic yeah. medicine. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we need to acknowledge that as naturopathic doctors being the founder. Mm-hmm. It's just me loving my profession. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited. And the thing is that there is a lot of knowledge that these functional medicine doctors need to you know, I was schooled in this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a 6-month course in functional medicine isn't going to make me feel comfortable referring my patient to a doctor that doesn't really know,
right.
you know, because I can see them trying to fix part of things and then I always have to go over it again or another naturopathic doctor. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we'll all be able to work together in that capacity. And I think that naturopathic doctors really do inspire, you know, functional medicine practitioners in general. Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to start your own lines with your supplements and your beauty?
Well, it was just that I didn't want my patients taking supplements out of plastic bottles. Mm-hmm. And
I don't think people think about that.
I know.
When you said that, I mean, I'm thinking about most supplements. Most of them are either in plastic bottles.
I know.
They're in plastic pouches. I love those, by the way.
I do too.
I call those my bedtime dessert. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah. You know, think about a vitamin bottle that's been sitting on a truck. Especially mm-hmm. here in Southern California.
Yeah.
You're having those every day mm-hmm. to better your health. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, they have microplastics in them. So I made my supplements not into plastic, into glass. They're third-party tested. Mm-hmm. They're clinically tested in the sense that I've been using them clinically in my practice, you know, for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I know that they're safe and they're effective. And those are, I think, the key 2 points when you're looking at supplements. And that's why I made mine.
That's incredible. Do you have any celebrity secrets or like award season secrets? We just kind of got past the award show time.
Yeah.
Like, what are people doing that we don't really know about?
A lot of my patients are amazing. They will go on the 4-week plan before mm-hmm. award season. So they'll get their face, their body, you know, if they've kind of slacked off, they'll get back on the four. They'll start, you know, 4 weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. They'll come in for Dr. Nigma face treatments. Mm-hmm. Icing really helps the skin, the face for inflammation as well. I think it, like I said, it comes from inside. Mm-hmm. So they'll do that. They'll come in for an IV mm-hmm. and a face treatment at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I'll do both.
Amazing.
I'll give them an IV. Uh-huh. They'll lie back and I'll look at what their skin needs and I'll give them a Dr. Nigma non-surgical face mm-hmm. treatment. So they'll come in maybe the day before the Oscars or the Golden Globes or the day of, you know, depends on their schedule. And they'll get a treatment every time before. Mm-hmm.
What are some, if you can think of any, what are some like really egregious beauty or wellness trends that you've seen out there?
Oh, dear. Yeah, there's a lot of different trends right now. I mean, I think snail peptides are coming back. Mm-hmm. So in one of my serums, I have snail peptides. They're mm-hmm. not real snails mucus in there, but I've mimicked the exact peptide found in the snail mucus. Mm-hmm. But I think that's kind of coming back. Mm-hmm. I think gua sha is coming back because mm-hmm. I think people are really realizing the importance of lymphatic drainage in the face.
Yeah.
As getting like the toxins out of the face. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, it's an easy thing to do. Full body lymphatic drainage is the rage. Everybody is doing mm-hmm. it. Cupping, mm-hmm. you know, is super cool and effective and safe. Mm-hmm. Also getting it from a practitioner who knows what they're doing, it's even better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What have you been seeing?
As far as good things, I mean, I don't really know. Like, I try anything.
Right? You'll try anything once?
Yes, I will try anything. Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of beauty trends that I know for myself mm-hmm. wouldn't necessarily work. Like, I know, like, slugging was a big one with, like, the Vaseline all over your face.
Oh dear. And yes, I heard of that.
Some people love it. And I'm like, I would actually, I got Fraxel in December and I put Vaseline on and I had like dermatitis all over my
face. Oh my gosh. Because it's got petroleum in yes. it. So yeah, I have to be careful.
Yeah. But I feel like there is this kind of trend back to natural. I feel like the pendulum mm-hmm. always kind of swings, you know, to extremes and then settles somewhere back in the middle. But at least from what I see, you know, on social media, it seems like people are being more cognizant of like what they're putting in their bodies and what they're using topically. And also just trends as far as aesthetically, like you're not seeing the frozen Botox look now. I think people are wanting to have some movement back. I feel like we're seeing less
sure.
filler and people opting more for things like microneedling and mm-hmm. LED masks and yes. things like that. So it's, I don't know, it seems like natural as far as like the look and as far as the approach. What are your three main anti-aging tips?
If you have sleep disturbances, that's when your body regenerates. So you've got to have a good sleep hygiene. And that means really shutting down everything, the phone, your thoughts, meditating. I like to lie on my PEMF bed at night.
I just got one of those yesterday.
Did you?
Yes.
So I use one from HealthyLine.
Okay.
They have this rainbow chakra and they have amazing. Like different crystals mm-hmm. in them.
Yeah. That's. The
and
one
you know, I used to think, oh yeah, whatever. Now my dog fights me for
no
it.
No way.
Like he wants to be, I have all these videos of the second I turn it on, he jumps on there.
Really?
And he knows where the energy starts. Huh. He's so intuitive. So wow. I love lying on that.
How long do you do that for?
I do that at least for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'll do the Kirtan Kriya meditation, the mm-hmm. Satanama. Mm-hmm. And that like puts me in this state of ready to then sleep. Not wow. so that I'm so tired that I pass out. Mm-hmm. People that do pass out from being so tired will quite often wake up at 1 or 4 mm-hmm. in the morning.
Yeah.
Because their adrenal glands are burnt out. Mm-hmm. But that shutting down before you go to bed, I think is super important. So that's my mm-hmm. ritual. I'll take a bath with Epsom salts and mm-hmm. magnesium salts, and then I'll get on the chakra and I'll listen to a Kirtan Kriya and I'll doze off. Sometimes I'll put a face mask on mm-hmm. if I'm like really like have that, you know, I feel like my skin is needing it. I do it once a week, the mm-hmm. treatment mask I created, I brought for you as well. I just like love Christmas it. I love today. Like doing all these self-care. I think it's so important, just even the ritual of doing it, because mm-hmm. it's self-love, self-care, you know, and it feels like you're receiving from you, mm-hmm. which I think is the most important. Mm-hmm. So sleep is being the most important. Sorry, I went into a long diatribe.
Love it. No, those were great.
So
tips.
Sleep, I think, is super, super important. I think one of the most important things, because when you sleep well, your cortisol is not over all over the place, and then you're not craving naughty foods and, you know, feeling grumpy. And, you know, it just sleep, I would say, is one of the, so whatever you need to do to get your cortisol levels down before going to bed and sleeping well, I think that's one of the most important.
Yeah. So not scrolling on TikTok. Oh,
I know.
With the blue
I
light
know.
Until one in the morning.
I'm not going to lie. I do sometimes do that, but I am really making a conscious effort not to.
Yeah.
I'm more than halfway there.
Any other gadgets? I mean, the PEMF mat, this brand who sponsors my show, Bond Charge, who I love their infrared sauna blanket. They sent it to me and I was like, what is this thing?
Right.
Like, I didn't even know. I was like looking at it. I see the crystals and I see the infrared and I'm like, I don't understand. And then I figured it out. But any other little tips or hacks like that?
I love my hyperbaric chamber. I have a hyperbaric chamber in my house now.
Oh, wow.
I know. I've kind of gone over. I know.
Goals.
Actually, people, you can own one. You can have one in your house. I find I bring my dog in there too because he has irritable bowel disease. Of course, I got the dog with the gut disease. Aww. Bless him. I like to steam. Steaming is really, really good. And in LA, there's so much pollen and the Santa Ana winds. I think steaming is really good. And okay, I know this sounds crazy, but nasal flushing. There's this thing called Neil Med. You can get it at any pharmacy. It's the best way to depuff your face.
Yeah, really.
But also cleaning out your sinus cavities. Because guess who resides in the sinus cavity? Viruses, bacteria. So I love using that to depuff.
I love the Neil
Med. It's a little trip.
Yeah.
A trick, sorry.
Ever since I got a rhinoplasty. In 2017, he had me doing the Neil Med, and I was like, I feel great when I do this. I just feel like it's cleansing.
It is.
Yeah.
You can even do that after having dairy. You can do that tonight.
I'm doing all the things tonight. I'm doing my PEMF, steam.
Send Neil me a picture. Med.
Yeah, I will. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun. Tell everybody where they can find you and find your products and your book and all of that.
Yeah, they can find my products on healthydoc.com. That's my website and my online shopping. And yeah, my book on Amazon, if you want to have a look, Younger Skin Starts in the Gut.
And we'll link everything in show notes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you liked it, and if you like the show in general, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe. It goes a long way, and it's actually the best way to support the show. Also, if you want to see more about each episode, you can head over to the Blonde Files podcast on Instagram. You can go to ariellori.com. And I'm always posting about each episode over on my personal page at ariellori.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.